Amen. Now we begin. Forever I am with you. Forever I am with you. For long before the stars were birthed, long before the planets arose, long before even a thought of physicality had emerged within the divine mind of the Son of God, we were already created together and equally. And yet that creation of what alone is real knows no point of birth. Therefore, because the Father is forever, so too have we abided together, held together, sustained together in love. And throughout all time, and even unto eternity, do we abide together in the reality of who we are. Therefore, think it not extraordinary when I say unto you, I am with you always, even unto the end of this age. What journey have you ever taken that is not familiar to me? What journey have I ever taken that is in truth not familiar to you? For when you look upon me, and from some deep place of knowingness within, though the words may be different, you say within yourself, behold, Christ appears before me. When you hold a thought of me in the mind, and the body is flooded with emotion, soft and gentle and light, and you recognize that the Holy Son of God was birthed, perfected in your friend, even one Jeshua ben Joseph, what is it within you that knows that this is the truth? What part of your mind, what capacity within your heart can look upon me and recognize the truth within me so that you love me? For I say well unto you, it is equal and the same as that part of my mind, that part of my heart that looks upon you and says, behold, the Holy Child of God is before me, and I love this one. That which knows, that which comprehends immediately, is the mind of Christ, that recognizes itself in each and every one. That mind of Christ dwells within you in its fullness now. And therefore, as I've said unto you many times, never fail to remember that it takes one to know one. And if you would look upon me and say, beloved friend, thank you, look well upon yourself and say, beloved friend, thank you. Indeed, allow the breath to flow. How many journeys have there been? How many moments of experience passed under the bridge of your beingness, so to speak, before you first began to reawaken to the truth that is true always? How many lifetimes, how many worlds? Before a light began to dawn so imperceptibly at first that it was not recognized, and a tiny voice whispered from a place that seemed so far removed from where you dwelt, beloved son, you are with me now. You remain as I have created you to be. Therefore, be at peace. You are loved. And the voice seemed so far away, so faint, that surely it could not be your own. Surely it was just a moment's fantasy. And in the midst of some journey, you paused, and as a raindrop fell and hit a leaf, and your eyes looked upon that experience, and you felt and knew that you were one with the leaf and the raindrop, and that indeed you were those things. How many moments of experience passed by before these kinds of qualities began to emerge in your consciousness? As what seemed to be tiny mad ideas, my God, I just felt myself to be one with all of creation. Well, better not tell anyone about that. And off you went. But the moments began to come more often, still perhaps fleetingly, and yet now more familiar. A sense underneath all of the drama, all of the crying, all of the lamenting, all of the resenting, all of the fearing, all of the striving, all of the seeking, the still tiny voice would come and say, beloved son, you remain as I have created you to be. You are loved. You are wholly loving and wholly lovable forever. The tiny voice would still steal through the roar and the din that had seemed to make a home within your mind. And rest assured, you would not be where you appear to be in this moment if you had not already begun to experience many moments that express the quality that I've just described to you of truly hearing the still small voice of the Comforter within. Therefore, indeed, each of you knows that there is a longing within you that cannot and will not any longer be denied. You know from the Christ within you that Christ has stirred within you and is rising to take up its rightful place as the master of your mind and your heart and your body, and your breath, and your dreams, and your passions. And each of you knows that it is absolutely futile to attempt to settle for anything less. And if there be anyone here in this moment who actually and truthfully doubts what I have just said, speak up. And so silence is all the evidence we require. It does not come because of anything I have ever done for you. It comes because it must come. It must arise within each created mind, regardless of its journeys, regardless of its attempts to deny what is eternally true. That's called the illusion of the dream of separation. It must come, and it is inevitable, because Christ will not be denied. Christ cannot be denied, because only Christ can express what is absolutely true. Only Christ can so inform the cellular structure of the body that even the simplest of gestures extends love unto another who beholds it. Only Christ knows how to breathe the breath that releases all trauma, all hurt. Only Christ understands the power of true forgiveness, which is always, by the way, forgiveness of oneself, since no one has wronged you at any time. Only Christ can bring a smile to the lips of a body such that when another looks upon you and sees that smile, their heart is filled. Only Christ can walk in this world yet not be of the world. And only Christ can transcend every limited and fearful creation into the beautiful flower that blossoms and gives its sweet fragrance to all of creation. And is it not that which you long to feel moving through your beingness? Is not that call to awaken alive within you? Oh, beloved friends, you know that it is. Love you, therefore, one another, and love you, therefore, the self that has been given unto you of the Father. Learn to hear only that voice. Learn to desire only that voice. Learn to follow only that voice that knows the truth is true always. I and my Father are one. And this world is but a passing shimmer and a dream. It holds no value save that which Christ can bring to it. Only love is real. And anything else is the choice to momentarily believe in illusion. And oh, rest assured, illusion within an illusory world can seem to hold great power. But all power has been given unto you. All power under heaven and earth is given unto the holy child of God, and that power dwells within you as the life of your life, the breath of your breath, the truth of your truth, the beingness of your beingness, and the joy of your joy. And there has never been an illusory creation that has ever, in truth, threatened it. And no illusion can take reality from you. The only thing that can occur is that you use that power to believe in loss. And all forms of loss that you perceive through the physical eyes or through the worldly mind are nothing more than passing shades of your insistence on believing that loss is possible. All forms of the contraction known as fear are nothing more than temporary modifications of the very power given unto you, a power that you have sought to use to see if it were possible to convince yourself that something besides love is real. But the story is over. The dream of separation is ending. The whole of creation is now experiencing a growing power, if you will, a movement, a momentum that must carry the mind from which creation springs to a new level, if you will. It's not so much an evolutionary level as a level of recognition, a level of remembrance, a level of returning. And that wave of momentum is alive and has already arisen within your heart and mind. You know it. Stop denying it. Stop questioning it. Stop looking for signs from the world around you that it's okay to feel it. Accept it as a divine gift from your Creator. For the call has gone out, and though many listen, few hear, and fewer still become wholly devoted to responding. Therefore, let your prayer be always, may Christ alone dwell within and as this creation that I once thought was myself. May Christ alone inform each thought and each breath and each choice. May love direct each step. May love transform this journey through time, that in time I might truly know the reality of eternity, the sanctity of peace, the holiness of intimacy. The joy of the Father's love. Prior to every breath, and indeed even prior to every thought that arises within the mind, for when you know that you are holiness itself, how could you ever look upon your brother or sister and believe that they have wronged you? How could you ever want to do anything but love them? That is, let the love of Christ flow through you so deeply and so profoundly that they get that you do not believe their illusion. For when you give unto another that which alone is true, because all minds are joined. You have offered unto them the only gift that holds value. But when you give another the truth, perhaps even without saying a word, again, because all minds are joined, they recognize what has been offered. The one before me knows the truth of me and is looking right through every one of my attempts to be less than who I am. Therefore, I see that it's safe to choose again. And that is when miracles occur. Do not strive to heal this world. Do not do anything to make a show of how much you love another. Give up the concept of being a busy bee. And simply be the presence of love. Simply because you know that there's absolutely no value in being anything else. And that in truth, you have never succeeded at being anything but the presence of love. Each sane moment that you've experienced, each moment of unlimitedness, each moment of genuine intimacy, each moment of grace-filled joy that you've ever known in whatever form it seems to appear or be bottled before you, has come because you've allowed your mind to slip in to the sea of peace, and you have merely abided empty, wanting nothing, seeking nothing, merely the presence of what you are. And when that quality becomes cultivated so that it permeates your consciousness with each breath and with each moment, you will know that Christ has indeed arisen this day. And you'll celebrate Easter with each breath. What then could ever possibly arise to obstruct the truth that is true always? There is an ancient forest somewhere on your planet. A forest high in a rugged mountain valley. So rugged that no one has ever been there. Unknown to the minds of humanity, life goes on in the forest. And deep within the heart of this forest, this morning, a little tiny blade of grass seemed to be tossed by an unseen wind. And as it was tossed for just a fragment of a moment, so subtle and soft was this wind, that as the sunlight played against this blade of grass, it cast the smallest of conceivable shadows on a stone that lay just a little bit away from the blade of grass. No one noticed. The shadow had no effect. The rock didn't even notice. No one on the planet noticed. No one in any of the heavens noticed. except me, I needed something to build a story around. That tiny shadow, cast by a little blade of grass, momentarily wiggled in a wind. In some remote forest, has virtually no effect on the turning of the planets, the creation of new suns, and certainly not one trace of effect on how deeply your father loves you. That little shadow is what you have given power to. And it seems to be able to obstruct the truth within you from being lived. For the moment you gave that little tiny shadow power, in that very moment, fear was born. And fear is always a contraction away from love. And fear makes you smaller than the blade of grass that momentarily seems to cast a shadow, and therefore obstructs your recognition of the warmth of the sun that bathes you always. And when you resist healing, when you struggle to do what, as we have been observing you here, do learning to speak your truth, when you resist healing in these ways, you may rest assured that something has occurred just prior to that, and it is your decision to believe that the shadow is all-powerful, and that if you heal, if you grow, if you change, if you let Christ live in you, that that little blade of grass and the little tiny shadow it creates for a very temporary moment will come and punish you and crush you. And if you can truly take this story into your being and recognize the utter laughability of such a belief, you will never again fear fear. You will never again allow fear to master you and direct the course of your life. You will indeed learn what it means to trust what is birthed in the heart, and you will arise and you will go forth without fear, with no story at all, and you will accomplish whatever creativity wishes to express through you. And the whole while you'll know that of yourself you do nothing, but the Father through you can do anything. Therefore, indeed, what forms of the shadow of that blade of grass are you allowing to run and own and possess your soul? An interesting question. There are many forms of that shadow, are there not? There are peers and parents and siblings to please. And there are governments to bow down before. There are mates and children that must come first. There are bills to pay. There are desires to check and keep in order. There are activities and statements and behaviors done by others that require at least 7 or 8 hours a day for you to analyze and judge them to death. My, this world is exhausting. But somebody has to do it. Do you thought it was love that makes the world go round? Trust me, love does not spin and get nowhere. Love created you. Love birthed within you as an individual, at least within the dance of time and space. The power to choose, the power to feel, the power to know, the power to channel light and love. The power to know that something exists within and as you. That's what love has done. And has fear ever created anything remotely like that? So what do you want? Creation or mimicry? Peace or the ability to simply drug yourself with triviality? All power under heaven and earth flowing through you with every breath so that your consciousness witnesses not what you do as the maker or doer, but that which the divine is doing through you in each moment so that you get to marvel at the creativity of love. The very same love that moves the sun and the moon and other stars. Now that's a delightful pastime. And when your life, this one life, and you only have one life, you might have many bodies, but you will have one life. When you give that one life wholly, what is this called here with the lock, the stock, and the barrel? When you give it all to being only the presence of love, and if there's any cobwebs in the way of that, let's get on with it and get them swept out of the way. I've got better things to do. Because the whole of creation is waiting to move through me, and I want to be aware of it. I want my experience, my lived consciousness, to be blissfully absorbed in observing the flow of love through this mystery you call the body and dare to call your body as if you have some right to possess it. Give the body to God. God knows how to use it. You don't. When you are in that place, heaven and earth will move to become your servant. Not until. Send a conflicted message. Nobody shows up for the dance. But when you move into that place, for no other reason than besides that you want it, you will know, because you will be the truth that sets all things free. So now you know what the shadow is. Perhaps sometimes you enjoy dancing with it. The great question is, are you going to let the shadow lead, or are you going to lead? When your life becomes that, I'm not speaking of perfection as you would consider this, when your life becomes that motivation, that attitude, that declaration, and that devotion, then perfection will be witnessed through you. For perfection is miracle-mindedness, in which that which saves time occurs. And when your life becomes that, when you no longer have any conflicted, what is this word, commitment, when you no longer have any conflicted commitment in your beingness, you will know exactly what the result of my life was for me, because you will be that. Yes, I know what you're worried about. Does that mean that when I get really close, I'm going to have to go through my final initiation of crucifixion? And if I have to do it, would you promise that they at least sterilize the nails? Could I choose the day or the hour? I don't like to get up too early. You already know what crucifixion is all about. You've done it to yourself a million times in ways far worse than a mere nail driven through the hand that creates a little twinge of pain. Hell is nothing more than the state of being rutted or stuck in the process of crucifying one's self, which is nothing more than the attempt to murder and destroy what God has created out of love. Stop wasting your energy trying to love God. That won't do it for you. Stop wasting so much energy trying to learn how to love another. That won't do it for you. And for God's sake, please refrain from all attempts to get anyone to believe that you love them. Put the whole of your attention on giving up the patterns of belief from which you have attempted to crucify the self that God made and placed within you as your very awareness of your existence. Learn to love that self beyond all created things. Learn to nurture that self. Learn to cultivate within that self only that which speaks of joy and truth, so that your words and your actions and your very presence always uplifts another. So that when another walks into the room in which you are sitting or standing or moving, they feel like a breath of fresh air just hit them. Even if you haven't lifted a finger. As long as there is a trace of energy within you in which you are striving to get from any perceived thing or object around you what you're sure you lack inside yourself, you cannot know the love of self. And you cannot experience freedom. Happiness is an inside job. So then what happens? You finally get it right. You decide, okay, what's that little shadow been doing, little blade of grass? Well, let's take care of that one, and that one, and that one, and that one, and that one. How many blades of grass and how many shadows are there within this beingness that seems to be overlaid over the self? Does it matter? You're busy birthing Christ. And what happens when that really occurs? First, and listen well, nothing will be unacceptable to you. Well, but does that mean if somebody's not a vegetarian that they're still loved? Does that mean if somebody votes for, what is this one? The man named after the bird, quail. If someone were to vote for quail, does that mean that they're not insane? That I can love them? Does that mean that someone who seeks power and therefore creates a war and kills 5,000 women and children, that I can still look upon them and not have my love be disturbed? Does it mean that whatever arises within this temporary world is really, truly, literally not a problem for me any longer, that nothing is unacceptable? Yes. It doesn't mean you condone it. It means it's no longer unacceptable. For what you cannot accept, you will judge. And every judgment is the attempt to murder what you have decided has no right to be. Judgment is the opposite of forgiveness. It lives on the side of fence with fear. Forgiveness lives on the side of the fence with love, and only love can heal this world. Imagine then living in a state of beingness in which literally nothing was unacceptable to you. Because you knew that the source of your true beingness was far beyond the limitations of anything created in space and time. That even death, which has been created out of the contraction known as fear, that not even death is unacceptable. When I spoke many months ago to this, my beloved brother, who allows me to blend with his mind, and said to him, if you will choose to trust me, I will show you the way to peace. I had to wait for his reply. I could do nothing to take from him the freedom required to become wholly committed to allowing Christ to be birthed where once a useless illusion had reigned. And when I said to him, again, this was in your understanding of time, quite some time ago, I will show you how to become the being out of which all of creation is arising, so that you will know the truth that sets you free. It raised up within him the most root or fundamental of fears possible. What is that? It is the last to be overcome, the fear of death. For when you are confronted by the truth, you know that everything you have sought to create as a substitute for the truth must die. That's why it is said, the last to be overcome shall be death. Fear of death. Death is allowed that Christ might live. There is no one in this room, listen carefully, there is no one in this room, and there shall not at any time be anyone who hears these words to whom I have not spoken that promise unto. I will show you the way to the truth that is true always and sets you free. But only you can make the decision to bring the whole of your being to that journey. And all it requires is this much willingness, what you call a smidgen in your world, a smidgen of willingness is all it takes. I know the way home because I have completed the journey. And I will show you that way. With every word that I utter in this form as well as in other forms, my one intent is to reveal the place within you to yourself that is the presence of love that you seek. What if you chose to actually commit yourself to considering and hearing what I'm sharing? And return to the innocence of a child as you contemplated what it would mean in your life. And rest assured, when the journey to the kingdom is completed, the journey within it begins anew. And the bliss and the wisdom and the creativity and the laughter and the friendships, the family, the joy, the serenity, the peace that has been for the most part is what could only be seen as surely an impossible dream. These things will become your most ordinary state of being. And yet none of it can occur through any power that can move through me. I can guide you and I can show you the way. And I can walk beside you on the way that you've chosen. And at times I can give you my strength until yours is as certain as mine by carrying you. But ultimately, you must demand that I put you down so that your feet touch the soil of the kingdom of heaven and you walk under your strength, under your certainty, beside me. And you will indeed find in that day and hour that I will as often ask you, how do you think we could do this? What would you like to create with me? As you ask it of me. And then indeed, we are as brother and brother, sister and brother, friends, dancing and playing in the kingdom prepared for us of our Father. One little shadow cast by a tiny blade of grass is all that seems to prevent you from coming wholly to where I am. And if you tarry yet a little longer, it's okay. You see, you cannot prevent me from knowing the truth about you and loving you. And when you are in love, when you are so immersed in simply loving, isn't it true that you have no sense of time at all? There's no sense of effect disturbing your peace. You're just what you call swaying to the music. You are loving. And your wholeness grows even more holy. Therefore, indeed, love one another as I have loved you. For the Father has first loved me, that I might show you the truth of what love is and the reality of your beingness. And I will not cease in doing this, regardless of how long you choose to tarry. For love is indeed patient and kind. Love is not deluded, and love does not allow delusion. Love embraces all things, trusts all things, allows all things, and knows perfectly where it's going, and never ceases in that journey until every blade of grass is released from casting shadows, and the whole of creation is returned to the heart of God. Learn to love yourself and cry out to this world, I and my Father are one. And that is the soil from which I move and live and have my beingness. So be it. Always remember that the Father looked upon his only creation and said, behold, it is very good. And that goodness has a name. And it's your name and 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 my name. And behold, it is very good. That light deserves to shine. And so with that, the message of this hour is given. I believe you can discern what it is. And yet before you stands the doorway. Will you open it through the power of your choice? What you experience will reveal to you what choice you have made this day. And with that, beloved and holy friends, may peace be with you always. May the truth that is true always shine within your hearts and minds throughout all ages. And remember, there's a perfectly good reason why I keep saying time and again, I am with you always. Peace then be unto you always. Amen.